USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Despite the changes going on in the British government, President Trump is said to be looking forward to his visit to London on Friday. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
President Trump is said to be looking forward to his working visit to London with Prime Minister Theresa May. First, it was David Davis stepping down as Britain's Brexit minister. Then Foreign Minister Boris Johnson resigned, replaced by Jeremy Hunt, who spoke about his new duties.
My principal job at a time of massive importance for our country is to stand foursquare behind the Prime Minister so that we can get through an agreement with the European Union based on what was agreed by the Cabinet last week.
I'm John Clemens.
Military officials say the U.S. Army will roll out a new and improved fitness test by October of 2020. Currently, the physical fitness test consists of 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and a two-mile run. Sit-ups and push-ups are being scrapped for deadlifts and power throws and two other tests. Now, the two-mile run will stay. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewards.
So good afternoon. This is Joe Peters, and it is the 8th of January. It's a little after 4 o'clock, and we're going to get started. They've asked me that before I do that, I give you the weather, so I'm going to go through and give you that first. Be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunted In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunted In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So it's 37 degrees out today. It's going to have a high of 39. It looks like it's going to rain any minute. If it isn't doing it right now, it's just hanging there. It's going to be 36 overnight. Tomorrow's going to be partly sunny, 41, 30 overnight. Thursday's going to be partly sunny, 34. Pretty seasonable, 21 overnight. So we're going to get in down on below freezing overnight. And on Friday, 30 degrees again. Before we get started, what I'm going to do is play my intro, and then we'll talk about what's happening in real estate in Hunterdon County.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So once again, my name is Joe Peters, and what we're doing today is we're going to take and do a radio broadcast based on what's happening in the market locally. Today being the 8th, we didn't broadcast last Tuesday, which is when I would normally have done this. So we're a week late, but the statistics are still pretty fresh, and we've got a number of weeks' worth of history to add into things. We're starting off the new year in a really interesting situation. Interest rates, we're going to talk a little about, did not go up. They went down after the last Fed raise of the rates. When the Fed raises the rate, it affects prime, and prime isn't necessarily what the mortgage rates are based on. So we've actually had a belt tightening on interest rates, which is good. We needed that. The other thing that's happened that is the most beneficial thing is that this is the first year in a while we're starting with more inventory than we had at the first of the year previously. So we're sitting with just a little more inventory than last year, but this point last year we were sitting with 10% less than a year before and 20% less than 2 years before that. So the inventory levels have built up. I'm not sure I can pinpoint one thing that has made it happen, but I do know several things that have contributed to it. One is people are starting to discover they've got some equity in their home. And, in effect, they're saying, wow, I didn't realize I had that much. It's time maybe to move on and do whatever our next step is in life. Sometimes it's a bigger house, sometimes it's a different house, sometimes it's retirement and a 55-plus. Sometimes it's relocating. So that's one factor that's happening. Another factor that's happening is that people are – we usually sell a house every 7 to 8 years. I mean, there's some people who live in their house all their life. But if we were average everybody every place, we usually sell a house every 7 to 8 years. Well, at the end of 7 to 8 years, if you were in 2009, 10, 11, you probably didn't sell your house. And now it's 7 or 8 years later, and you're sitting in that house 15 years. Your equity starts building up after the 10th year at astronomical rates. And you want to get on with your life. And once again, it's not like, life events drive the sale of a house. So, you know, it's usually more children, less children. They've gone off to college, divorce sometimes, job change sometimes, retirement sometimes. All of those factors are life events, and all of those life events make people's minds up to sell their house at a certain point in time. So, based on the last full month's contract sales, and that would be December, statistics show a supply of approximately 4 months. And I'm looking at Somerset County because ours is more like 7 months. So let me just restate that. For Hunterdon County, we have a supply of 7 months. I'm going to talk a little about Somerset as well. 4 to 6 months is a normal supply. That's where people are typically selling a house. Prices aren't going up. Prices aren't going down. It's just a normal supply of homes. Now, how do we get to a month's supply? If you had 12 houses for sale and you sold two, it just went under contract last month. Haven't necessarily closed. But in the last 30 days, two went under contract. Well, then it would take another 6 months. You'd have 6 months' supply to go through that inventory. Naturally, inventory is coming on and going off, and it's not a straightforward picture. But the way we gear how well the market is doing in a specific price point is how many months of supply do you have? And I've said it 100 times. It's going to be the 101st. It depends on your price point, and it depends on your location as to whether or not your house is going up or down. If you would like me to do a look at it for you, I can do a pretty precise picture as to what your price should be and what the options are over the next few months. But we're looking at somewhere around 7 months, and for this time of the year, that's about normal. We have had units going under contract in 88 days. It's a little under 90 days or not 3 months. 95 properties went under contract in December, down from 124 in November. So we're getting into the winter where it sort of tapers off. And we had new listings of about 93. So 95 went under contract, 93 came on, some expired, some got withdrawn. We're sitting with 667 properties right now in Hunterdon County. If you look at our condos and townhouses, it's taken us about 5 months to sell those. We have 81 on the market and 18. So divide 18 and 81, you get the 5. 18 went under contract in the last 30 days. If you look at our over 55 communities, we have 10 on the market. 3 went in under contract. So we're sitting with 3 months' supply. But we sit with 5 months all the way up till you get to the 400 to 500. It jumps up to 8 months, and the 500 to 600, it rescinds back to 6 months' supply. And then in the 6 to 7, it's 8 months again. And then when you get over 7, it's a long time. We're sitting at 24 to 36 months. We don't sell a lot of houses in Hunterdon County, over 700,000. In the month of November, we didn't sell any. Last month, we sold 4, one in the 7s, one in the 8s, one in the 9s, and one over a million. So if you take a look, 95 houses, you sold 4, divide 4 into 95, over 700,000, we have 24 months supply of houses. Average house that sold for $397,000, just under $400,000. That's about average. We've been up to as high as $440,000, and we've been down into the 380s. But $397,000 is an average price. And the average listing that came on the market came on at $421,300, really. So we're coming on at about 6% less than we're selling at. And that's pretty average, because the average house sells at usually 3% off the final list price. So if you started at 5.25 and you lowered it to 5 and then you sold it, you're probably going to get 485 if 5 is the right price point, somewhere between 2.5-3%. So we're saying we're 6% over. People tend to list their houses a little aggressively up front. And we're sitting at 7 months' supply of inventory. So prices aren't going down in great amounts unless you get over 700,000. And if I didn't look at these statistics, I'd say we're in pretty good shape up through the 550 range. You get above 550 to 650, it's probably stable. Below 550, we're probably getting some increase in prices for the last year, maybe under 400, maybe 4 or 5%. Between 4 and 550, maybe 1 or 2%. Over 550, we're probably stable. Over 7, we're probably dropping in price based on month supply. Now, this is a two-factor game. You not only talk about month supply as to price point, but you talk about month supply as to location. And if you'll recall, I said the way your house will sell depends, and the amount it will sell for and the amount of time it will sell in depends on not only your price but your location. If you're over 700,000, all of Hunterdon County, we sold 4 houses last month, none the month before. So in 2 months, we've sold 4 houses. And just based on last month's figures, that's a 24-month supply. But if you look at the towns, we have some very popular towns that consistently sell half of our inventory. Their Clinton Township is one area. We had 13 sales out of last month. Raritan with 16 sales and Reddington with 15 sales. Those three general areas sold 46% of all of our inventory. It's always been that way. Sometimes it's as high as 60%, but it's never below about where it's at. So let's look at some towns that had no sales last month. For example, Bethlehem. I'm sorry, Alexandria, Bloomsbury, Delaware, Frenchtown, Lebanon, and Stockton. The way out towns had no sales whatsoever. Towns that had one or two sales, Bethlehem, Califon, Clinton Town itself. So even though it's part of a high-selling area, there were only two sales in the town of Clinton. We actually only have 6 listings in Clinton, so that's a 3-month supply. It's not too bad, even though it's only 2 sales. Franklin, Flemington, Hampton, Kingwood, and Milford. All of those had 1 or 2 sales. So the hot spots were 46% of our sales, and we sold for an average price of $421.3 and listed at an average price of $421.3, and we sold somewhere around $397, just under $400K. Now, let's look at where it's taking a while by town. Flemington Borough, 17 listings, one sale. Lebanon Township, that gets quite remote pretty quickly up there. 39 listings, two sales. That's 20 months supply. Tewksbury Township, 78 listings, six sales. On a high price side, but it's in a really great location because it's the closest area to New York in Hunterdon County. Those are the tougher ones. Union Township, 9 month supply. And let's look at some of the better areas. As I said, the town of Clinton, 3 month supply. The town of Hampton, 8 listings, 3 sales, 3 month supply. The town of Lambertville, this is a surprise, 25 listings, 6 sales. The town of Reddington, we talked about already. So we're sitting at a total of 7 month supply. And when we look at the situation for your house, there's several factors that come into play. We have to look at sales for your house and your price point in your town. And we have to look at the style of the house and comp it to similarly sized houses, square footage, in style, in age, feature-wise. And we also have to take a look at what else is on the market that's selling against you. Because if, in effect, houses like yours sold for $400 last year and there's two or three available for $375 this year, listing yours for $400 may not make sense. Your price point may have dropped. So we have to look at it in particular. Now, there's a big caveat. Coldwell Banker's big data technology capabilities will put a unique advantage on selling your house. I can show you the latest age and earnings breakdown for your particular area, show you the people who are moving into that area and where from, and I can market specifically to those people within their demographics. The result is you will get a highest price on your house for the least amount of time on a market. It is it makes us unique, and I got to tell you, if you'd like to talk about it, 908-238-0118, I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to put these numbers to work for you so we can show you how our marketing works. So that's Hunterdon County. Let's talk about Somerset County. So what's the difference between Hunterdon County and Somerset County? Where they touch along County Line Road, they look identical. On one side is Hunterdon, on one side is Somerset. And the further you go to the west, the more bucolic and rural it gets, and that's Hunterdon County. And the further you go to the east, the more dense and built up it gets, and that's Somerset County. So Somerset County has roughly 2.5 to 3 times the people and houses we have in Hunterdon County. It has more industry. It's closer to New York. It's where people would really like to live, and as a result, they will pay at least 20% more to live in Somerset County for the same size house on a smaller lot because it's closer to New York. As they're headed west, Warren Watchung become the first places that look like God's country. Berkeley and Gillette and some of those others aren't bad. But once you get into Somerset County, they're actually in Morris. You're coming into an area that is like Watchung itself, sort of an old money town, average sale price over there, well over $1 million. Then Warren, sort of a newer money town, but well developed, and its average sales price is in $1 million range as well. There are some houses below that point, but the average sales price in Warren County, over $1 million. And then you hit Bridgewater, then Branchburg, and then you come into Reddington and you're in Hunterdon County. What I discover, a lot of people are overlooking in Warren Watchung and their sticker shock, saying, wow, I didn't know things cost so much. And I say, okay, well, Bridgewater isn't so bad, but it's dense, but there's no inventory. because it's so sought after. It's one of our most sought after towns. Inventory goes very quickly. And then you get into Branchburg, it starts to get rural, starts to get septic systems with wells, and people aren't necessarily thinking of that. Some people are afraid of it and won't buy that. And then you get into Hunterdon, and I bring people 5 miles to the west, and I say, look what just happened. Your price went down 20%. Your lot's 2 to 4 times bigger, and you got the same house. The only problem is you got to buy 5 or 10 minutes more each way. Both towns are affluent. Both counties are affluent, I should say. Both counties are safe. Both counties are taxed reasonably the same. The difference between Hunterdon and Somerset is that Somerset gets 20% more, and if you're in a town of a train station, it gets even more than that because that's what people are looking for. So let's look at Somerset County. Same numbers. This is what I started to read up front. Based on the last full month's supply, units going under contract went under in 64 days, where we won 88 days in Hunterdon County. 256 properties went under contract, where 95 went under, so 2.5 times. And that's down from 275 the month before. And newly listed properties in that same period were about 190. Now, in Hunterdon County, we sold 73% of our sales were under 500,000. When you look at Somerset County, it's more like 70, and that's on the high side. In Hunterdon County, 27% above. In Somerset County, 26% between 500 and a million. And then 4% or 9 sales over a million. So where we only had 1 sale, they had 9. And a lot of times they have 20 and 30 where we have 1 or 2. It's a different way of thinking. 4 months supply means in the really popular price points, there's rising prices. They have 277 townhouses listed, sold 87, 3 months supply. They have 28 55 pluses listed, sold 9, 3 months supply. Under 200, not much there, but they sold with 2 months supply. 200, 300, 3 months supply. 300, 4 months, 3 months supply. 4 to 5, 5 months supply. 5 to 6, very popular price points where executives move in and out to 5 and 6 area. 3 months supply. You get 6 to 7, they bounce up to 8, and they go down to 7, and the 7 to 8s, they go in the 8 to 9, 6 months supply, 9 to a million, 8 months supply. And over a million, it's taking them 18 months. They have 163 houses for sale, and they sold 9 over a million. But that's 9 more, well, 8 more than we sold. They're 9 times what we've sold. And there's average sale price. Remember I told you they get typically 20% more. We're at $397. They're at $433. Their average list price, $633. Our average list price is $423. So you can see that, in effect, Somerset County is a different county. Now, this is broadcast primarily. I have some listeners in Somerset, but primarily to the Hunterdon. I'm going to get back onto the Hunterdon points very quickly here. Only 3 areas in Somerset County reported no sales: Millstone, Raritan, and Rocky Hill. All pretty remote down towards below Franklin, towards Princeton. One area, 1 or 2 sales: PPAC, Gladstone. They don't sell a lot in PPAC. They've had 17 for sale, 2 sold. They got 9 months supply. Their hot spots are Bernards, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, Montgomery. Those hot spots together totaled 60% of their sales. So if you think about it, our hotspots, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan, touch their hotspots, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, and then they get a little more further to the east and north. So they have the same situation that we have. It depends where you're at, and it depends on your price point, but they have more places where people are willing to accept, and they have higher price points than we do, and they're still selling because they're getting 20% more. That's what's happening. And this newsletter is available at jpeters.com. There's a Hunterdon and the Somerset County version. There's also a Canal Walk version, a Bridgewater version, and a Warren Township version. I like to break it into two parts because it is very interesting to hear what's happening, but then you say, well, why is that happening? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play one more commercial, and I'll actually play two, and I'll be right back with an explanation of why that's all happening.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Paraplan. This is Tony Clark.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase, presented by PNC Bank. It'll be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, by the way, 908-238-0118, give that number a call. If I'm not already talking to somebody else, I usually pick up. And if I am talking to somebody else, I'll get back to you within an hour or so. I love to help people sort of figure out what's going on. And what I do in order to do that is I publish this newsletter. I work through several organizations, the Chamber here in Somerset, the Chamber here in Hunterdon, and in effect, I am part of a lot of the Chamber events. So you'll see me around, and hey, I look just like my picture. Give me a shout. I'd love to meet with you, have a cup of coffee, and bring you up to date. So let's talk about why what is happening is happening. The very first is home sales. It's interesting that for the first time in 3 years, we're starting to see an improvement in inventory. We've been plagued by a shortage of inventory, and as a result of the shortage of inventory, people have been driving into getting rentals or leaving the area. First-time buyers are still going to have a tough time this season trying to find what they're looking for, but as more moderate price, middle price houses open up, some people will move up and some inventory will free up for the first time buyers. I know in the past it's taken 3, 4, sometimes 6 offers before one sticks to the wall, but I was able to help 3 or 4 first time buyers even through that tough inventory there last year. But for the first time in 3 years, we've seen a small improvement. And as I said, the inventory as of the first of the year is even to last year, just a little above it. Still low, and numbers lead to a bit of softening in the price appreciation on existing homes, and a little bit of a slowdown in growth. It could turn the tide back to a buyer's market. Small decrease, 3% in home sales in November over the same and the increase remains flat year-to-date, being held back once again by the lack of inventory. During that same period, housing sales above 400 showed modest increases across all price points, which is good because that was hurting. There's also been an improvement at the very high end in towns where there is service to Manhattan. Don't have many of them, but you could argue Clinton has one. It's got bus service to Manhattan. And you could argue you could take the Raritan Valley line that starts in Highbridge and meanders all the way over to Newark. It's a long milk route kind of, but it's there. So a lot of people drive a little further to the east and find parking and catch a train or bus where it's quicker into New York. At the same time, the number of homes offered for sale in New Jersey remains low but rising slightly last month. Supply increased by nearly 2,000 homes compared to a year ago, and currently we have about 35,000 homes, which is 40% fewer than were on the market in the 2011 peak. So think about that. Almost half the homes that we had 7 years ago, which was the peak. Current unsold inventory in New Jersey varies widely by county, with some having 3.3 months. So no county presently has more than 9 months of supply. That's good news, because this time a few years ago we had counties with several years supply. It was really difficult to sell. And so the average for the whole state's 4.8. That's good news. That's right in the sweet spot. And inventory in both Hunterdon and Somerset is short in the popular price points, but improving. Hunter and Somerset County have about 10% more inventory than had a year ago, but 10% less than 2 years ago. Hunter and Somerset County are very similar in inventory situations, because people do transport themselves across the county, at least near the county line. And we see some initial gentle pullback in 2018 in reaction to what's considered price sensitivity towards some of the existing inventory. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen 4 to 6% increases. This last year, I think we're still going to see over 4, maybe 5 in the under 400. But once you get above that, you're going to see a little bit of price increase in the 5s, 4s and 5s. And probably nothing above 6. The good news is it's not going down, and we're starting to sell inventory up there. Also, we're starting to see millennials coming back into the area, buying homes. That's good news. I might say, you know, I bring about maybe 4 to 6 sets of millennials back into the area each year. I do about several dozen transactions a year, average of 2 a month currently. And the millennials that are coming back are married and probably have their first child and are looking for a quality of life. They're not necessarily the millennials that left. But I know why we moved to Hunterdon County in our 50s, and that was because of the quality of life. And people still move to Hunterdon County for the quality of life. They do the same thing in Somerset County, but a lot of times the pricing and the lack of inventory drives them into Hunterdon County. Interest rates. This has been interesting. The economy is strengthening, and the interest rates have fallen in recent weeks to 4.6 for a 30-year. It's good that the Fed raises the rate, because they're trying to curb inflation, but the rate they raise is the prime rate, and interest rates are not coupled to the prime rate. Eventually, if they raise it enough, it will trickle down and affect the interest rates on mortgages. And that happened around September 1st. There were several successive interest rates. But just last week, the Fed said that they may be postponing any future thoughts of a lot of interest rates in the upcoming year. And the market went up 750 points. So it does affect where we're at. Consumers... fears of steadily rising interest rates and slowing home values is what's driving the busy market. If the interest rates merely went from 4 to 5%, and they didn't, although I think the 4.6 at the end of the year was an anomaly because it was 4.9 the end of November, but if they went from 4% to 5%, for argument's sake, if you could afford a $500,000 house at 4%, interest rate. You can only afford a $455,000 house at 5% because you lose 9%. 9 times 5 is 45. That's the $45,000. At the same time, it's a 1-2 factor here. The home prices are coming up. So you can only afford interest-wise 455, but maybe the house price that was 4.25 has increased 5%, and it's now 450, 455, 6% increase. So you're getting a 425 house. The combination of interest going up and prices on houses going up take away your buying power, and that is what results in a frenzy of buying activity, and that's what we've seen over the last couple of years, especially in this first time. National job front, U.S. employment, 49-year low, 3.7% after 155,000 jobs in November. In December, that number actually hit 312, I believe, but the percentage went up because more people came back into the market. We're expecting to see this trend continue, and in effect, I think you're going to see more and more people being employed each month. If I'm not talking politics here, but if you talk this president's batting record as far as creating jobs, forget everything else. Just how many jobs did he create on an average month, and compare it to the last several presidents, the last 8 years, the last 12 years, the last 16 years, there's no comparison. We're creating the jobs. It takes 250,000 people being put to work per month just to take care of growth. These are the young people getting to the job market. We're now starting to make job increases above that, and a lot of them, especially in New Jersey, are good-paying jobs. But there's still this disparity of we have 7.1 million jobs and only 6.1 million unemployed people. That's good news. I mean, if you stop and consider that 3%, go back to your economics 101 classes, they taught you that 3% of the population is unemployable at any one given time. Some of it is to seasonal work, some of it is to personal issues, some of it is to just general unemployment of certain people without skills. I think that's what our biggest problem is right now. You would take your 200 million working class times 3%. That's your 6 million unemployed people. But we have 7.1 million jobs. So if we could get those people in the right spot, location-wise, with the right skills, employment-wise, we could put them to work if they were ready and willing to go to work. And I'm resting back in the economics 101, some of them can't. That's a fight we've got to fight, and that fight is being undertaken in meetings. I've sat through two meetings today where we discussed this problem going forward. How do we get the skill sets that we need here in New Jersey when 40% of our senior class every year leaves the state and goes to a four-year college, and the biggest part of those people never return to New Jersey, where we have jobs waiting here in New Jersey that don't even require a four-year skill, that can pay more than they're going to make with their four-year degrees, that are probably not relevant in today's market. It's more of what mom and dad thought they should go to college for. And it's what their guidance counselors are incented to send them to. We really need to take a look at getting people to work in the state they grew up in and using some of the jobs here in New Jersey up. New Jersey job front, 4.0%. Looks like we're going to add on 47,000 jobs last year, 64,000 this year. It looks like we're up about 50%. That's good news. The level of jobs being created is a better level of jobs. Should also be noted that these are mostly in the northern half of the state. You get out of where there's manufacturing and commerce, and there's less and less of those jobs. Rental market trends, I'm not going to dwell on that, but two-thirds of everything that was built in New Jersey in 2017, 2018 just ended, we don't have the numbers yet, but it's probably pretty similar. Two-thirds of new construction was towards the rental market. Two-thirds of what we built for people to live in was built for the rental market. And that's because we have no rentals available. We're sitting right now at a 2.5 vacancy rate. It's typically triple that. There's two sets of people that are in these rentals, eating them up as soon as they come on the market. One are the millennials who can't buy a first-time house because they can't find the inventory to choose from. And then the second is people who are not necessarily wanting to live in their house any longer. They've got that mega mansion. The kids have gone off to school. They've sold it. They really didn't get what they thought they would get for it because the price has dropped on larger houses, and they're going into luxury high-rise rentals as a... We're rapidly becoming a rental in economy in New Jersey. We're sitting with about 65% home ownership. It was up over 73%, but that's when we were giving everybody a mortgage. That was a big mistake. Now that we know better, we're only allocating mortgages to where they're qualified to have that mortgage. But at the same time, we're seeing more and more people leaning towards rentals. You know, one of the things, and I'll get to that in another minute, but we're jurisdicted to build single-family houses of a certain size. It's based on 15 or 20-year-ago logic where we didn't want a bunch of people, a bunch of kids moving into our town into low-rate, low-taxed environments. And as a result, we said you can only build on 1, 2, 3 acres in Hunterdon County, at least an acre in Somerset County for single-family housing, and you've got to build so many square feet. Well, population has dropped. We're having less children. We're having children later in life. And, in effect, we don't have the problem in schools that we had where we'd have to build a couple of new schools every year. We're now actually closing a couple of schools every year, especially from the west to east viewpoint, because we don't have as many children. It's easier not to have children than it's ever been, and it's more expensive to have children than it's ever been. You combine those two factors, and people are limiting themselves to one, maybe two children, where we used to have three or four. So that's where half the children have gone. The second point is we're getting married later and having children later. So we missed like a half a generation of childbearing because of that factor. And that's where some of the... So we're looking, Hunterdon County, I know the statistic, we're looking at probably a 20-plus percent drop in high school over the last 2 to 3 and ongoing over the next couple of years. In Somerset County, it's more stable than that, but not growing. And what we're seeing is a lack of migration to Hunterdon County that we used to see. And to some extent, the same thing in Somerset County, but to a lesser extent. So, why is that? Well, people are finding the money spent per child education-wise in the more urban areas is a lot more. But it's also a much denser, maybe a little more crime, less desirable area to raise children in. That's why we get that quality of life issue back here. So let's look at, I'm just going to mention foreclosures. They're down. Foreclosures at we're at the fifth state in the nation. And I am not passing judgment on anybody, but if you look at the states that are ahead of us in foreclosures, they are New York, Mississippi, Louisiana, and there's one over in there. We're number 5 at this point in time at 2.7%. New York is at 3.1%. Mississippi with 3.0, mostly hurricane. Louisiana, 2.7. And we're trailed, there's one missing there, we're trailed by 5 other states. The average for the nation is 1.7%. Tax cuts, I'm just going to give you a sentence on that. We haven't done our taxes yet, but it's the forecast of the industry expert that the tax cuts will have little effect on the sale of inventory in our housing market until you get above the $400,000 range salary-wise and $1 million range house-wise. And if it's a married couple, it's even higher than that. We're going to find out once we do our taxes. But what happened was everybody was, oh, some of it's political, some of it's fear and scare tactics. But we were very upset that the SALT limits were set to $10,000. But from what I'm hearing from the tax individuals that I talked to, that's more than offset by the slide down in tax brackets. So, yeah, you may only have $10,000 where you could previously have deducted $16,000, and you're losing $6,000 in deduction. But when you look at the 32% bracket is now 24%, it more than makes up for it. So I think we've got to go through doing our taxes before we know better. I think the average sophisticated earner and to a great extent, people like me who just have to know everything have figured out their taxes by doing a pro forma, and they realize that, you know, we're either in better shape or we're in worse shape. There are some people, and this was the intent of the Tax and Jobs Act, who are going to pay more taxes, but they're the upper 1%, maybe upper half of 1% of earners, people that earn at least $400,000 a single and $750,000 as a couple. We don't have a lot of that, but we have some of that. And those people will own a house that's $1 million to $1.5 million or more, and they're going to pay more taxes. But the people that are below that, the people that are the average rank and file worker and upper white-collar worker, executives, are probably going to get reductions in taxes. I think the only thing that I'm hearing from the tax advisor is that the reduction is a little higher in the mid-class than it was targeted at. We're saying the mid-class unilaterally will get money back, but it seems like the upper middle class is getting a disproportionate amount. But once again, we've got to go through tax season and see how that fares out. Let me tell you what we're seeing. Economic conditions. Walk through a front door of a store, and what do you see? Help wanted. We have no people. We have 7 million jobs, 6 million people. New Jersey at 4% is holding their own. Best paying, most attractive jobs are near or in New York City. Interest rates have already risen over a half a point since the first of the year, and it's taking away from our buying power. House prices have risen as high as 6% in the popular price points, taking further away from the buying power. Baby boomers are choosing to stay and put and not buy that last big house. When the kids go to school, they buy the mega mansion that they always wanted. The kids are still around for another 5 years or so as they go through school, maybe longer. They're not doing it. They don't see it as a good investment. So they're sitting in place, and they're stopping growth from underneath them, because when they sell a house, somebody will buy it. And when that person buys it, they'll sell their house. And it'll be two or three sales before you get down to the first-time buyer level. There's no entry-level construction to speak of going on in our area. Just larger homes and new rentals. Talked about that. Foreclosures are on the decline. Also, the confidence in the new job and sale tax is stimulating the economy further. And the biggest issue we have are things are changing, changes in lifestyle. We're getting married later. Families are having one, maybe two children. 65% of all houses have no children at all in them of 18 years or younger. 50% don't have two people in them. Demand for larger houses is waning, not only in New Jersey, but everywhere. And as a result of the job situation, buyers are gravitating to being within 15 miles of New York City, the reduced commute. 80% of all consumers still perceive house buying as an American dream. It's just what they want to buy that's different. Builders are building four-bedroom center hall colonials on one-plus acre lots because that's what they have to build. Buyers are thinking high-rise luxury and probably more towards rentals. So we've got a true mismatch there. And for the first time in history, Hunterdon County last year, 2017 last year, had more deaths than births. We're losing population, not only from migration out, but we're losing it because we're not replenishing through the birth rate. By the way, this morning's statistic from Allied Van Lines said the only New Jersey's largest export right now are its citizens moving out. That's a powerful headline. If you want to read the article, go to jpeters.com and look at my blog section, and you'll see where they're moving to and what states are getting hit the hardest, but New Jersey is still the hardest hit. That's the third year in a row there's been a large exodus from New Jersey. Market conditions. So we're starting to see some warnings of economic conditions a year or two out, probably in the late 2020 area. This effect on housing probably will just be a reduction in growth. We don't see any pullback in values like we did in the 2005 to 2010 area. But in general, homeowners are sitting in more equity than they've ever had, and a lot of them are surprised at how much they have. They've stopped using the house as an ATM, so it's building up. And once you get past that 10th year of ownership, you start paying a lot down on the mortgage and building your equity. Consumer confidence is high. The affordability index is high. People have the money to spend. I saw one study that said if we went to $11 and we're only at $8.65, $8.85, something like that in Jersey on a minimum wage, we go to $11 an hour before it impacted us in Hunterdon and Somerset County. And the first thing that would impact us, we'd have no employees. We don't have people at work. Right now, we're paying in most grocery retail jobs, we're paying in excess of $12 an hour. We don't need a minimum wage if the minimum wage is $8.85 an hour. There is work. Biggest problem we have in Hunterdon County is being able to get to work because we have no mass transportation. Affordability will never be where it's at. Millennials are 25% of our home ownership. It could be 50 if we had enough to sell them. The minimal new construction and the lack of new housing, entry-level housing, is hurting us. Five-year forecast, slow, steady, but diminishing price growth. We're looking at 3 to 4%. The latest thing I saw was 3% next year, maybe 2 the year after, maybe 3 the year after that. And that's overall. So you've got to look at what's under 4 and where your price point is. In some price points, there'll be no growth. In some, there'll be some loss. It's simple. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory. And we started to see more small inventory increases over the last 4 months. And as a result, I'm thinking, Joe Peters, 2019 could be a great year. Forecast, the economy will continue to prosper, at least for the next 24 months. Interest rates will continue to climb into 2019. But hopefully, based on what the Fed just said, we'll hold the belt tight. Home prices will continue to rise, another 3% next year. On average, across all prices. While improving supply will remain tight in the more popular price points, new jobs seen resulting are helping things. Once again, we have more jobs than we have people. We need to match the skills and the location of the people to the jobs that are open. The affordability index shows there's much more room for growth. Some decrease in moderate price housing could result sales-wise from people not getting the automatic doubling. A lot of people bought a house to get a tax shelter. Right now, if you have buying an average price house in New Jersey, sells for $330. We sell around $400 and $100 and $440 in Somerset. But if you were to buy a house to get a tax deduction, you're probably not going to get the tax deduction because the minimum went doubled. That's going to have a little bit of effect on people buying. But since we have no inventory, there's a shortage. Some high-end fallout will result after people do their taxes, and people in our home over 20 years are pleasantly surprised at what they're finding. Their equity has built up. Once again, this newsletter is on my website, jpeters.com, and there's a place there where you can request to be put on my mailing list, and you can, when you get to that news site, you will see market reports in the header, and you click on that tab, and it'll take you to my blog, and my blog has the Hunterdon in Somerset and some other special places like Warren, Watchung, and Canal Walk and Bridgewater. I think, in general, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, especially because the inventory is up and the interest seems to be coming down. I'm feeling good because we have a lot of business from last year, several listings, several buyers that didn't come to culmination, and I think that will over the next year. And I'm feeling good because I don't see an end. We're in our 82nd month of economic recovery. I think we're going to get another 24 months out of this. And when we do take a correction, it won't be that houses go through the floor. It'll be that instead of getting 3 and 4 and 5%, we may get 1 and 2% appreciation till it corrects back. This has been Joe Peters. I'm at 908-238-0118. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. I'm going to play my introduction one more time, and Greg will be on right behind me with his music show. Talk to you next week, and next week we're going to talk a little bit more about what millennials are looking for.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
I think President Trump is prepared to do what's necessary to address what is a real humanitarian and security crisis at our southern border.
Vice President Mike Pence on ABC's Good Morning America. Now at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday, we can expect President Trump to address the nation regarding border security. William McGurn is a former chief speechwriter for George W. Bush, and now with the Wall Street Journal, he has some advice for President Trump tonight.
I'm a less is more person.
Okay.
Look, the Ten Commandments were fit on two stone tablets. The Gettysburg Address was 271 words. I'm a less is more. I think that they can do it.
Accused Florida high school shooter Nicholas Cruz is in court today in one of many of his procedural hearings. The prosecution says this should be a very easy case to prosecute.
It's a fairly straightforward case that does not require years and years to prepare for.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
More folks were added to the voter rolls in Florida, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
More than a million convicted felons in Florida can start registering to vote. The amendment that voters approved to restore many felons' voting rights takes effect today. People convicted of murder or sex offenses not eligible to vote, though. And before voting rights can be restored, felons have to complete their prison sentence as well as any probation.
The annual Consumer Electronics Show kicks off in Las Vegas on Tuesday. Smart devices could have a big showing this year, with companies like Google and Amazon expanding on ways that people can use Google Home and Alexa devices. Danielle Cassingell of the Consumer Technology Association tells NBC News some of the things you can expect.
From self-driving cars to artificial intelligence, 5G connectivity, digital health, everything that you could imagine.
The show runs in Las Vegas until January 11th. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
News came out that about 36 drug companies would be raising their list prices at the beginning of 2019. This goes against the Trump administration and really a bipartisan effort on both sides of the aisle to get prescription drug prices lower for all Americans. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar joins Fox News and says